Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall, and what we're about to hear may sound like someone singing, but in fact, it's an electronic instrument accompanied by a piano called the theremin. Clara Rockmore playing music by Camille Saint-Saëns, the swan from his Carnival of the Animals. Clara was one of the foremost thereminists of her day between the two world wars. The theremin is a musical instrument that you don't actually touch to play. Its pitch and volume are guided by your hands as they move through the air between two antennas. It was invented in 1919 by a Russian scientist named Lev Sergeyevich Theremin, known as Leon Theremin here in the United States. Montreal writer Shawn Michaels found inspiration in the theremin and its creator for his debut novel, Us Conductors. It's a book brimming with unrequited love, international espionage, and enduring hope. I spoke with him about it last June. So this is a novel. It's a fictionalized account of this real-life Russian guy, a scientist named Leon Theremin, who is living in New York. He falls in love with the woman who will become the preeminent thereminist of her day, Clara Rockmore. Clara is also an actual person. We just heard her playing. How did the idea for the book come about?
I've always really been attracted to true stories that feel just so extraordinary that they have to be fictions. These kind of tales that almost feel mythic. I think by the same token, I've also been attracted to lies, fictions that feel true. I heard the broad strokes of Lev's story, the story of Lev or Leon and Clara, and he just had such an extraordinary up and down of a life. It felt made up, but it also kind of jammed against some of the other questions and riddles that I'd been chewing on, and it seemed like a really interesting story to use to kind of explore some of the ideas and questions that I was thinking about, things about love and duty and responsibility and music and science.
And you give us full warning. You say that the book is full of distortions, illusions, omissions, and lies. This is a fictionalized life of Leon Theremin, but how did you view your responsibility in terms of historical accuracy and your license as a novelist, as a maker up of stories?
As a novelist, I think it's my responsibility to try to kind of summon or like evoke a kind of dreamlike narrative experience that the reader can get lost in. And I felt a responsibility to be as historically accurate as necessary for the reader to really get lost in it. Anything more than that is just picking up whatever was useful. So in this story, it was very useful to be able to draw on the real history of Lev. And Clara, it meant that there were fewer things I had to make up, because there's certainly already enough. Every sentence, you know, you're plucking from thin air. So I don't think I felt a responsibility to sort of represent the historical record or their biography. Biographies, this is very clearly a work of fiction, but I wanted to write a good book.
And how did you come to decide to add certain dimensions to Leon's story that didn't actually happen? I mean, I didn't know they didn't actually happen until I sort of looked into them later. But he kills a guy. He's a kung fu master in the book. And it turns out none of those things were actually true in his life. How did you decide sort of where to draw the line? That's an interesting challenge, I would think, as a writer.
Mm-hmm. Lev and Clara's story has kind of been painted as this almost like legendary story of true and possibly unrequited or unconsummated love. And I had heard this version of the historical tale, and I was a bit skeptical of it. My own life has shown that sort of ideas of true love are sometimes a certain lie hidden there. And so this book for me was a way of exploring that, the lying, the way that true love can kind of be a lying love. So knowing that I was doing that, and knowing that that's not based on interviews, it's an invention. I really wanted to be able to signal very clearly that this was my own imaginary. So things like the kung fu were my way of waving a big flag. Okay, in my story, this Russian inventor born in 1896 also does kung fu. I wanted to really make clear to the reader that I wasn't trying to represent what was truly in the heart of this man.
So Leon Theremin is the narrator of this book. I'm really interested in how you decided to structure it as well. Much of it is written while he's in the hold of a ship headed from New York back to Russia. And he's writing, putatively at least, to Clara Rockmore. So in that sense, it's kind of an epistolary novel, but it's not really. You even talk about, you know, what happens if the letters are never delivered. You know, what happens if Clara never actually gets them? Because at that point in his life, everything's kind of up in the air. Why did you decide to tell it in this particular way?
Lev had a life that was full of ups and downs. He born in Russia, became a huge celebrity there. Inventing the theremin that was kind of, it was essentially, I don't know, the iPad of 1925. It caused a huge sensation, and then he comes to America, greeted as a huge star. He lives at the Plaza Hotel in New York, meets Gershwins and Rockefellers, goes dancing at the dance halls. And then at a certain moment, he returns to Russia, where things go very badly, and ultimately he finds himself in a Siberian gulag. And so these are a lot of different points of different feeling, and so one of the challenges was to find a way to represent him at these moments. I didn't want it to be talking about New York and going dancing with Clara, or slipping into a speakeasy from a place where he's currently in a work camp in Siberia, reflecting back on that. I wanted to kind of be able to visit him from looking back on this story, but from different moments in his life. And so this way of splitting the novel, it's kind of two different letters, neither of which may ever be received, seemed like an interesting way to both ground him in a particular moment and also not ground him in only one moment.
That's an interesting choice and an effective one, because it definitely works. I want to talk a little bit about how you actually play the theremin. First of all, did you learn how to play it yourself when you were researching the book?
Yeah, I acquired my first theremin right at the end of last year. So I'd already written the book. I'd learned the concepts of it, but I didn't have one myself. So I've been learning since then.
On 88.1 WYPR, it's Maryland Morning, listening now to Leon Theremin playing the instrument that he invented. I'm Tom Hall. Shawn Michaels is my guest. He's the author of the novel Us Conductors, about Leon Theremin. I wonder if you'd be kind enough to read a passage from the book where Leon describes how you actually play the theremin. This is on page 27.
Sure. My theremin is a musical instrument, an instrument of the air. Its two antennas emerge from a closed wooden box. The pitch antenna is tall and dark, noble. The closer your right hand gets, the higher the theremin's tone. The second antenna controls volume. It is bent, looped, gold, and horizontal. The closer you bring your left hand, the softer the instrument's song. The farther away, the louder it becomes. But always you are standing with your hands in the air, like a conductor. That is the secret of the theremin, after all. Your body is a conductor.
Shawn Michaels reading from his new novel, Us Conductors, about the inventor of the theremin, Leon Theremin. We found a clip of an interview with Clara Rockmore, who was, as you say, a violinist before she took up the theremin, and she talked here about her initial impressions of the instrument.
I was fascinated by the aesthetic part of the instrument, the visual, the beauty, and the idea of playing completely without touching anything. That part was very fascinating to me. I also loved the sound of it. And apparently I showed some kind of immediate, from point of view of Professor Theremin, an immediate ability to manipulate it perhaps better than the usual person.
Of course, in a live performance of any instrument, there is a visual aspect to it. People watch people playing the guitar or playing the drums or playing the flute. When you're watching someone play the theremin, her hands are not touching anything. It's all in the air. And there's a certain dance-like quality to it. There's the movement aspect, some of which can be very subtle, is still very sort of hypnotizing and mesmerizing to watch, don't you think?
Yeah, it's really a beautiful... The dance seems like the right word.
You write at the end of the first chapter that the sound of the theremin is simply pure electric current. It's the chanting of lightning as it hides in its cloud. The song never strains or falters. It persists, stays, keeps, lasts, and lingers. It indeed has lingered, the theremin, for more than, 80 years or something. Mm-hmm. What do you think it is about the theremin, for you personally and for the body politic, that has allowed it to persist as it has?
I think that there's actually something very special and singular about the theremin. All music is this strange invisible force, right? It's produced by musicians. It travels through the air invisibly, and then this invisible thing strikes us, hits us right in the ears, or maybe, hits us in the spirit. And there's it's this funny mixture of this physical thing produces this invisible force that then provokes emotion. And so the theremin, in a really, for me, startling way, kind of short circuits or messes with that relationship, because the starting moment, that moment of physical performance, is actually almost unphysical. It's movement, sort of little gestures in the air that don't seem to be doing anything, but then create the sound. It's almost like a sound that comes out of the air itself without a physical source, without a physical performance. It almost feels like a metaphor for music itself, this invisible force that can move us.
Yeah, that's fascinating. Of course, its presence in pop culture, do you think that's going to continue? Are you sensing some sort of a resurgence of people playing? I notice on your book tour, for example, you've got thereminists playing, including in Baltimore here tomorrow night, with you at virtually every stop on the way.
Yeah, well, the theremin, I do. Theremin's had this long, this enduring sort of fun kind of sideshow aspect that's kept it around, because it's such a fun, weird, mad scientist kind of device. But I do think that there's, especially in Europe, it's been interesting to see that there is a bit of a resurgence of the kind of virtuosic theremin player that Clara was, and that is still very rare because it's so hard to reach that level. So I find it interesting that we can still have the kind of hobbyist, nerdy, fun sound effect, gizmo aspect of the theremin, while this other kind of more noble tradition of careful, delicate, fragile theremin playing is kind of that's coming back.
Shawn Michaels, he's the author of the novel Us Conductors. We spoke in June. In November, Shawn Michaels won the 2014 Giller Prize. That's Canada's most prestigious literary award. We've got more about the book on our website, wypr.org/Marilyn Morning. I'm Tom Hall. Much more ahead. Stay with us on 88.1.